Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. Imagine having to draw effective editorial cartoons for a daily newspaper for some 35 years. That's what Tom Engelhart did for the Post-Dispatch, and we'll talk with him about that a little bit later. But first, we'll discuss ways to achieve enduring marriages. It's a challenge sometimes. Approximately half of all American marriages end in divorce. An organization called Better Marriages, which, as the name implies, is devoted to marriage enrichment, is holding its national conference in St. Louis later this week. Couples and professionals will meet to talk about ways to make marriages stronger. Here to discuss the organization and what makes marriages work and or work better are Linda Techner, a Gateway Chapter Better Marriages member since 1991. Priscilla Hunt is Executive Director of Better Marriages and the conference coordinator for this week's event. Greg Hunt is a member of Better Marriages and is her husband. I didn't ask you beforehand. I assumed that. You know, that's sometimes a dangerous thing. It's sometimes a dangerous thing to do. Priscilla, let me begin with you. What kind of shape would you say the institution of marriage is in these days?
Well, it's an interesting time for marriages, as you know. And I think that more than ever, couples are needing to be strengthened. Their relationships are needing to have education so that they can have the best marriage possible because, as you know, great marriages don't just happen. They're made. And what our organization does is empower couples to make that happen.
You are. We should point out, and very emphatically so, that you are not marriage counselors, per se.
Yes, that's correct. Appreciate that. There is a difference. We were founded in 1973 to help couples who basically have strong, healthy relationships and to further help them grow and learn new skills. That being said, we are also great for couples who are needing more support because their marriage is more troubled.
Linda, what about our area? How do we stack up, would you say, in terms of the health of the institution?
Well, we have the Gateway Chapter here in St. Louis of Better Marriages, and it's we have 35 to 40 couples involved in the organization. And just for my husband and me, it's just been great. We started in 1991, as you said before, and we thought we had a good marriage, and we were told, well, you know, it could even be better if you learn some communication skills techniques, and that's what we've worked on all these years and continue to work on those techniques and work on those skills.
Communication, Greg, is the key. I think anybody who discusses marriage has to say that if you can't communicate, you have a problem.
It is true. And in fact, it's one of the things in the current culture with the challenges of relationship really are built around the fact that it's not just the assumption that you're going to stay married forever. There is more freedom for people, if they don't like the way their relationship's going, to go off on some other direction. And the couples who do best do know how to communicate. It's more than just a general concept of communication. There are some specific communication skills that make a difference, including how do you resolve conflict when you disagree? There are some.
You mean there are disagreements in some marriages?
Unbelievably so, but it is actually true.
Priscilla, how do you do that?
Mm-hmm. Well, the interesting thing is I'm listening to Greg talk about communication. I think about the fact that we communicate whether we want to or not, and communication is a lot more than just words. And I grew up hearing from my mother, you know, you need to think before you speak, and if you don't have something nice, don't say anything. And it was all about talking. And what we've discovered is that listening is at least as important as talking, and that we speak to each other whether we want to or not.
In fact, the statistics are that only 7% of communication is verbal. And the other 93% relates to tone of voice and nonverbals.
Right.
And learning how to pay attention to that and be sensitive about that is really important.
When people come to you, Linda, what do they come to you with? How do they approach you and say, we have a great marriage, but?
Well, we usually have new members come into our program from some of our social activities. So we have movie nights at Is it okay to say Schlafly Bottle Works? I don't know.
No, you can't say that. But it's a little dumb.
But they're
I'm pulling your leg.
They're free and open to the public. We have that four times a year, and we have educational programs a couple of times a year, and then we have a couple communication workshops where people will learn those skills. So that's how a couple would come to us. They will often know someone in our organization already, and then they come to the couple communication skills workshop, which is sort of the basis and teaching this, where we teach the skills of communication, and then they will join a marriage enrichment group. And so that's really when I say since 1991, Steve and I have been in a marriage enrichment group, which is just a small group, maybe four or five couples who meet once a month, and we have a topic that we discuss, and we call it dialoguing, and those are the skills that we teach, the dialoguing skills, and they're not just about conflict, they're also about appreciation and things, and all kinds of things.
Greg, I want to be sure I understand what these communication skills are. I mean, we've talked about that it's not always verbal, but what are some of them, very specifically?
Well, yeah, part of it is listening for understanding, not just for agreement or disagreement, and the ability to summarize what the other person has said so as to get feedback that confirms you're understanding them as they intend. It also has to do with inviting more communication so that you're giving the other person plenty of opportunity to share. But in the sharing side, it has to do with sharing not only what you see and hear, what you think, but also what you feel and what you want, and to listen deeply, more deeply to one another as they share at that level.
Priscilla, how do you train for that?
Well, we have workshops, and we actually invite the couples to practice. So we will teach a skill and explain it, demonstrate it, and then we invite the couples to turn what we say knee to knee and actually practice. Choose a topic, not the hottest topic, but choose something that you want to practice your skills with. And they practice and actually leave with that in their relational toolkit. So that when they're now home or in the car on the drive home, they can choose a more difficult topic, and now they have the skills to do that.
What are some of the areas in which people seem to want to learn more about themselves and develop those skills? What particular areas?
I think the most that I hear is they need to be a better listener, or they want their spouse to be a better listener. We all, I think, consider ourselves to be pretty good talkers. You know, we've been talking since we were 1 year old, and so we know how to talk. We think we do. The skills go much beyond that. But listening, we don't have quite as much insight into and practice. And, Greg, your statement that the point of listening is to understand we're hearing.
My question, though, really is directed is what is it that they want to talk about? Is it sex? Is it intimacy? Is it money problems? Mm-hmm. Is it the kids?
Yeah, the research seems to be showing that among the most significant factors influencing marital satisfaction and issues that compromise that would be finances and sexuality. Mm-hmm. And so there's a lot of potential for conflict over those areas, and the ability to learn basic skills of communication is to move into hotter topics, at more sensitive, personally sensitive topics. And one more factor there is dealing with interpersonal differences, because it's not just gender differences, it's personality and family background, all these other factors that influence our point of view. So the ability to learn how to listen to another person's point of view and take that other point of view seriously, whether it's sex or finances or spirituality or some other topic, is critical.
I've always heard that the biggest problem with married couples is money. Mm. Is it borne out by your research?
In our experience with our marriage enrichment group, it was raising children. It wasn't really money so much, but it was just, oh my gosh, you know, the kids are, you know, how do we deal with these kids? How do we get on the same page? And, you know, just the everyday life things, you know, maybe when we talked individually with our own spouse, it might be money. But we do talk about money. Mm-hmm. We just retired and, you know, we did have to have some important discussions about money and what we wanted to spend it on. Mm-hmm. So those kinds of things make a difference.
One of the things one hears with regard to the money situation is that generally one partner or the other has always handled money throughout the marriage. And if one of them leaves for whatever reason, either death or divorce or what have you, it puts that one who did not deal with these issues at some risk.
It's difficult.
That has put a lot of people at an odd, difficult place. And then another big difference between couples on finances is that one may tend to be more of the saver and the other more the spender. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And how to negotiate those differences without being at each other's throats can be a major point of contention.
Priscilla, what about the issue of compromise?
Compromise is a very interesting concept. We sometimes think that compromise is the goal. So I believe this and you believe this, so let's compromise and come to a solution that's satisfying to both. But in reality, I think that when we compromise, someone's giving up something and someone's giving up something, and that tends to be what they remember. They don't remember what they got. And so I believe that stronger than compromise is the term collaboration, where we are coming to an agreement that actually works for each of us individually and for the relationship. So collaborating as a couple where we're on the same team as opposed to, we can come up with a solution that'll work.
Sometimes compromise is the best you can come up with, but it's stronger when you can listen to one another carefully and then become collaborators who, in a sense, brainstorm together about possible solutions that take both perspectives seriously, so you end up coming out with what's more of a win-win, and both then as collaborators feel like they've come out stronger.
I have to take a break in just a moment, but Priscilla, you've talked about working in small groups. Is it always a group format? I mean, or do you deal with individual couples or couples individually?
No, it's group format for the most part. We our marriage enrichment groups are 4 to 5 couples. And so as we work with the workshop, the beginning workshop, it'll be a larger group, and then people will break off into smaller groups.
I would think that would have the potential really to inhibit people from talking about some of these personal things that we've mentioned.
That's exactly right. You're right about that, Don. You have to give of yourself to do this. But I think this is one of the reasons we don't start out the topic of sex or money. That's not where we begin. We start out with appreciation of, you know, what we do for each other that we love about the other person. So we have every year with our marriage enrichment group, we have how are we going to work on the holidays this year? Because that's a topic that can be a real pain for people. So that's our September topic, you know. So it's not always the very most difficult topics that we practice.
How long would typically people be associated with Better Marriages? And they come and go, or do they join and stay forever?
That's an interesting question. Mm-hmm. We have some of both of those. Mm-hmm. Huh. Linda has spoken a lot about marriage enrichment groups, which is one part of what Better Marriages does. And we have couples who have been members of the organization since 1973. A conference like the one that's coming up this week is really designed to not simply focus on our membership, but to reach couples who need what Better Marriages has to offer to enrich their relationships. And so we really want to get that message out that it is for everyone in the community, not just members of Better Marriages.
So it'll involve conferences and seminars and workshops and retreats. There are a variety of formats.
Mm-hmm. And some one-on-one. Absolutely.
And at this national conference, those who would attend wouldn't have to worry that they're going to be exposed for open couple dialogue.
Sure.
Right. We'll talk in more detail about that. I do have to take the break. That Better Marriages conference, by the way, begins this Thursday at 7 o'clock at the Sheraton Westport Plaza Lakeside Chalet and runs through Saturday until midnight.
Yes.
So when the clock strikes midnight, it's over, huh? Some preliminary events will be held earlier in the week. We'll have details on those on our website, and we'll also talk about them. My guests in studio are Linda Techner of St. Louis and the Gateway Chapter of Better Marriages. Greg Hunt is with us, and as is his wife, Priscilla Hunt. She is the National Executive Director of Better Marriages. Back to continue our conversation. If you'd like to become a part of it, we'd love to hear from you. Give us a call at 382-8255. That's 382-TALK. You can send us an email to talk@stlpublicradio.org, or if you would prefer, send us a tweet at STL on air. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Now back to our conversation with Priscilla Hunt, Linda Techner, and Greg Hunt as we talk about the organization Better Marriages. I gather from the way the discussion has gone so far that there is no one size, Priscilla, I'll put this to you, one size fits all advice that you can give couples.
Yes and no. That is true to a level because every couple is unique. They have individual needs. There are challenges that every couple faces. And I would say when a couple comes to me and says, what is the number one thing that we can do for our relationship to make it better? Communication, yes. Handling conflict, yes. But in my opinion, the strongest thing that one can do is continue to grow and learn and stretch as a couple. And in order to do that, each individual in that relationship needs to be growing and stretching and learning and getting out of their comfort zone. Recent research has shown that more important and detrimental to a relationship than conflict is boredom. Hmm. And that boredom does more to hurt a relationship over the long haul. So to keep growing, keep learning, keep growing together and enriching each other in that relationship, I think is hugely important.
So, Lynn, I'm guessing that's one of the reasons you have all these social events. That's like date nights.
What it
appears to be.
Exactly. They're sort of like date nights, and we have a couple of social events during the year. One in August, and it might be a picnic or it might be game night. And then in February, we do a sweetheart event, and that's been a dinner dance if we want to get dressed up or, you know, something like that. And then we also have educational programs where speakers will come in, and these are all free and open to the public. We're non-denominational and all volunteer organizations, so it's very easygoing.
I imagine different chapters all over the country have different profiles of people. Greg, I'll put this one to you. Is there a profile? I mean, is there a template for the people that come to Better Marriages?
Boy, they represent the wide spectrum of the demographics of the United States. We have affluent couples and we have lower income couples. Because it's a non-sectarian organization, it is community-based, and so what you find is that wherever there are pockets of strength for the movement, it reflects the character of the community where it exists.
How about age range? More younger people or more older people in between, or is it just a big mix? Priscilla?
Because we've been around for 43 years, our membership tends to be graying. It's always our challenge, as with most nonprofits, to attract younger couples. We do a good job of that. And events like this one, where we are drawing from the community and also from the country in general, couples can come. It's a weekend getaway for them. They leave feeling closer to one another than ever before. It's a feel-good experience, mm-hmm. as well an educational experience, and that attracts younger couples.
I would also say that I know I'm spouse to Priscilla, but I just have to brag on her, because one of the things she's done with the organization is bring it into the 21st century mm-hmm. through the appreciation and use of social media. So mm-hmm. the website itself is an extraordinary source of information. We're getting response from a younger generation who access stuff through the internet, and mm-hmm. So we've got web-based marriage enrichment groups.
Yes,
we've got tremendous resources on the site. We've got we're in the world of Twitter and other kinds of things that keep it current and keep it connected.
You have to be today.
Yeah.
You absolutely have to be. Again, I'll remind our listeners that we'll have a link to your website on ours at stlpublicradio.org. Okay, as long as we're talking about 21st century issues, a couple of things come to mind. Number one, second marriages. Do you have people mm-hmm. come in? And are they typically stronger, that people learn from past mistakes? And the other issue is gay marriage, which we're reading right. about every day and which is now the law of the land.
Right, exactly. So I'll offer a partial answer. Priscilla can say some more. But second marriages have their own unique challenges. For instance, blending family systems. In fact, the blended family challenge becomes the number one source of conflict in second marriages and beyond. So there's the statistics on a second marriage's success are not as strong as a first marriage's success. But we embrace them. And if they're growing, developing skills, the track record on second marriages through involvement in better marriages is very strong, very positive.
It is interesting to hear and meet couples who are on a second or third marriage and who have learned from past mistakes. And they are some of our biggest proponents and supporters mm-hmm. because they know that without what we have to offer, they don't stand a chance because they've been there. We have an interesting speaker this week. Her name is Pamela Evans, and she calls herself a multi-marrier. She is on her fifth marriage. That's not necessarily ideal, but what she says is that from each one, she has learned something that she does not want to do the next time. She laughs and says, I'm a slow learner, but I'm getting there. But her attitude is that what she has learned along the way has really strengthened what is now her fifth marriage.
Are you finding any gay couples coming in?
We are. And we have pockets of chapters and members and couples around the country who are specifically focused on that issue and are very welcoming. We're in a very interesting time. And, you know, the organization, because we are non-sectarian, we are not a faith-based organization, there is no foundation for us to reject gay couples, mm-hmm. same-sex couples. We are not founded on narrow mindsets. In fact, when we were founded in 73, the organizers specifically wanted to create an organization that is open to all couples. Now, gay couples, that was not an issue in 73. Mm-hmm. The way it is now is a public issue. But they were aware that all couples share common challenges. And so they didn't want to simply look at Christian couples or Jewish couples or atheist couples or same-sex couples. They wanted to equip couples. And so the skills and the education that we provide really supports couples.
I'm sure the communication is exactly the same kind of problem in any relationship.
Exactly right.
I want to get Linda back to you because our time is getting away, and I know you particularly wanted to talk about a workshop that you have, and that you're the workshop leader for the Couple Communication Skills Workshop on Saturday, I believe. Is that correct?
Yes, Saturday, September 26th.
Why is that special?
It is the beginning. It is how you learn the techniques that we use for the communication, and it is the beginning of getting into a marriage enrichment group. So if you were a couple that wanted to practice those skills on a regular basis, for instance, our marriage enrichment group meets once a month, and we do practice those skills, that's how you would begin. We teach the skills, and then we give you an opportunity to practice those skills.
How many people are involved with your organization locally?
We have 35 to 40 couples involved in marriage enrichment groups. But as Priscilla said, you don't have to be in a small group to be part of the program. And we have about 40 to 50 couples that are part of the Gateway chapter.
Well, let me remind the audience once again that this conference begins this Thursday at 7 o'clock at the Sheraton Westport Plaza Lakeside Chalet, runs through Saturday until midnight. Some preliminary events earlier in the week. We have details on our website at stlpublicradio.org.
And I wanted to mention one more thing. There is a second couples communication workshop on November 21st. Oh. So we're having two this fall.
Okay, great. Well, Linda Techner, thank you so much for being with us of the Gateway Chapter of Better Marriages. Nice to see you. And Greg and Priscilla Hunt, thank you so much for being with us. You're from Kansas. Enjoy your time here in St. Louis, and I hope you have a great conference.
Thank you so much for having us.
Coming up, Tom Engelhart, former editorial cartoonist for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU.